Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich, and today I am joined by a returning guest. He is a contributor at Voices of Wrestling. It's Brady Trappett. Hello again, Brady.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am doing well. This is my second podcast appearance ever, and your feed has had the unfortunate privilege of having both of them, so my apologies.
You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But yeah, it's good to have you back. Last time you were on was the fall of 2023. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe you had a baby since then. Or was that before?
No, that was after. Yeah, we had a baby last April.
Well, congrats to that, of course.
Thank you.
Now, have you already shown them pro wrestling, or are you holding off on that?
Not the youngest one. My oldest... I was doing some Match of the Year roundup last year before I put in my ballot, and my oldest sat down and was watching with me, and he had one question for me. He said, when the game starts, is it okay if you hit them in the balls? So he's learning the rules slowly. Hopefully we can get everybody on it. Well, maybe not. It's a lot, the wrestling fandom.
Yeah, I think maybe for your youngest, just don't show them any wrestling at all, just because it's a cursed life we live. It's a cursed existence for sure. So get them away from that. Get them away. But anyway, some months ago, Brady, I did an episode with Rich Kraich called Tag Teams, where we played music duos. And this is kind of the opposite of that. This episode is called Stables. Now, there are plenty of wrestling stables that have 4 members in them, or sometimes 3, but in this case, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones with a lot more people in them. I'm talking about the NWO. I'm talking about Bullet Club, the Corporate Ministry, Mad Blanky, you know, just a big collection of dudes. And for this episode here, I figure the average band has, you know, 4 people in it, vocals, guitar, bass, drums. So we're going to play bands that go above that average and have at least 5 members in the lineup at one time. They could have 5 people, 6 people, 10, 20, 100, whatever, but there has to be a minimum of 5 people playing together. And I had some fun doing the research for this one, Brady, because there are bands out there who have as many members as the NWO or Bullet Club. It's amazing.
Yeah. I think that some of mine kind of scrape the line. You went above and beyond in your research. I do have a couple that reach up near 10, but I think I've been outclassed here. I more went thematically stable wise.
Yeah, well, the band that, you know, always comes to mind for me is Parliament and Funkadelic, because on their own, those two bands are already pretty big, but you put them together and it's insane. It's like when Immortal and Fortune combined in TNA back in the day. Just,
oh boy,
so many people. You can't fit them all in the ring. It's crazy. It's too many people. But right. But yeah, you know, the idea as well of sharing the spotlight with all those people, it can go either way. You know, it can be comforting to have this big group of guys to, you know, work with and bounce off of and have that communal spirit. It can also be daunting to have to rely on other people to, you know, make music and potentially have all these egos clash with, you know, here's my idea. No, here's my idea. You know, I can see why someone might like being in a giant group and why others might not, Brady.
Yeah, definitely. I have a band on my list that that used to be five, and recently some creative differences have shrunk it to four recently. So it's definitely a problem. I think if you've got like five, you're probably fine. But then when you get to the 10, maybe that's when the whispering starts to get out of control and you have cliques within your band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these bands definitely fluctuate. Some of them have more members at one time, some have less at one time, but for our picks here today, they have to have at least five members in the band at this time. That's kind of the rule there. So, yeah, let's get to our picks here. We have nine each and a playout song at the end. Brady, you are the guest. You'll go first. What's your first pick?
Thank you. When you sent me the list of topics that that I could choose from here, I'm not going to spoil any of them. It is a wonderful list of topics. The first one that jumped out to me was the bigger bands, because one band came to mind immediately for me. So I'm going to start off with from their 1999 self-titled album. I'm going to go with Sick by Slipknot. Show me what you wanna be. I can handle anything, even if I can't handle you. Better late, either way it better be. Don't you fucking pity me, get up, get off. What the hell am I saying? I don't know about my level. It's true, it's all taken. And I want somebody to step up, step off. Walls, let me fall, fuck you all. Get a grip, don't let me slide till I drop the ball. Fuck this shit, I'm sick of bitching, going down. This is a war. Fuck it. And like I said, this was the first band that came to mind for me. When you look at the cover of this album, you can see all of them. I believe there's nine on the cover. Slipknot, not a band without any strife. They've had a lot of member turnover, especially recently. I think they're going through it a little bit. But I really like this song. It's not technically the opener. They have a bit of like a little mini like intro to it, but this is essentially the intro to the album, and I think it's like a perfect distillation of what they do, right? It's all energy, never lets up when you think it's going to let up. It keeps going on. And like from the stable aspect, I think that's really important to them. Like they've always had a super big group, always had the super strong branding with the masks and everything, and the new masks each album and all that. Kind of a really cool lore. My apologies for the malign term, but a lot of lore around Slipknot. So they stick in my mind as a huge band. So that's why they came to my mind immediately.
Yeah, I like some Slipknot, just not this Slipknot. I prefer a dash of melody in there. So I like Before I Forget, Duality, Psychosocial, but when it's full-on screaming scary clown rage virus time, it's not my thing, Brady. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
It's not for everyone, as
no,
they say.
No, I just think it's amazing that this supremely scary looking metal band also has a guy on turntables. Like it's a guy who looks like a doom villain just scratching some records on there, and his name is Sid too. It's fantastic. So
Yeah, I'm partial to the guys who hit the large drums.
Oh, like, those are great too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Those are my favorites. They terrified me when I was younger, so that was something that a band that I visited for the first time, I should say, within the past few years, and a lot of great stuff there. But this album's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. So my first pick is a bit different than that. I ordered my picks actually from fewest members to most members. So we're going to start off here with a band with five guys in it. Just five guys. Okay. They're known as the Fab Five. It's Duran Duran. And I picked not just a great song, but also a Bond theme that they did. This is A View to a Kill.
First crystal tears, fall of snowflakes on your body. First time in years to drench your skin. Lover's rosy stain. A chance to find.
So the actual movie is not that great, but the song is killer. It's that cool combination of the new wave and the John Barry Orchestra in there with the horns. And it definitely sounds 80s, but it's still cinematic and tense with the horns in there. And Duran Duran, I love Duran Duran. They're a band that's still making great music today, but this is definitely proof of just how big they were in their heyday in the 80s. They're the second rock band ever to do a Bond theme after Wings. And it's still the only Bond theme to reach number one in the States. And it's also the last song that they did with the original five. They became a trio with the next album. And it took like 15 years to reunite them all back together again. So they went out on a high note, at least with this original lineup there, Brady.
Yeah, definitely. This is my favorite Duran Duran song. I love this. Not only can you tell when it was made, like time frame wise, you can tell what it was made for, right? It sounds like a Bond song. They made it with the composer. He's got a writing credit on it, and it has all the strings that you would expect from a Bond song. And I like that. It's like usually. At least I listened to Rio and their self-titled over the weekend, and the lead singer doesn't usually go this high in the chorus. He's usually a little mellow. I like the energy that it brings in the chorus.
Mm-hmm. There's a fantastic live version of this from Coachella in, I think, 2011, after John Barry died, where the band brought an orchestra with them on stage. And they did a medley of Bond themes before going into A View to a Kill. And Simon Le Bon, the lead singer, wore a tux for the song, like Bond. So, it's really good. I recommend people check that version out there. So,
yeah, for sure. Did you watch the music video for this, Andrew?
I did not, no.
It's great. I recommend that you watch it. It's got a lot of bad 80s CGI. And the whole concept of the video is that they're on the Eiffel Tower. At least I think it's the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, like in the movie, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but they use the same shot of Roger Moore like popping around the corner to shoot somebody. So it looks like he's targeting all the members, but they just use the same shot like four or five times. It's great. I'd recommend you watch it.
Okay. Well, what's your next pick there, Brady?
Yeah, so my next one, yours actually has structure and order to it and reason for... the order that things are in. Mine is just, this was stream of consciousness. This was me thinking of large bands. And if I had a band that was on the borderline, it was me going to Wikipedia to check their lineup for the song. But a cheat code for this, for the large band kind of rubric is ska music. I found there are a lot of them. So I went with a song from my favorite ska band. I went with Beer by Real Big Fish off of Turn the Radio Off from 1996.
She called me late last night, say she loved me so.
but I guess you changed her mind. Well, I should have known it wouldn't be alright, but I can't live without her, so I won't even try. If I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. If you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend, and I'll say, I think I'll have myself a beer.
Who among us hasn't gone through a ska phase? At least I think that's a I think that's a common thing. But I'm gonna say it. I still like ska. Not all of it, mind you, but I still like Real Big Fish quite a bit. This was originally on their debut album. It's called Everything Sucks, but it was re-released on this one. About half of Turn the Radio Off as re-recordings. I just like this version better. So I went with this one. Yeah, I don't have much more to say about it, but for the large band category, like adding in a brass section, especially when you have multiple brass instruments, it helps boost up the count a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were horns in the Duran Duran song, but this is the first band on this episode to have a horn section. And you stole my note. Yeah, it's kind of cheating. You know, it's a way to pad out the numbers there, I think. I'm not someone who delves into the world of ska all that much. I definitely heard of Real Big Fish, but I don't know many songs by them. But I like this one. It wasn't too ska to be annoying. I'll give it that credit, Brady. So
fair enough. Also made famous in the film Basketball.
Also in my notes, yes, I was going to say nice. That too. Yeah, they're in the movie playing the song yeah. there. So yeah. All right, my next pick here. This is a band with six guys in it, a sextet, and it's the late great Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. This is from their 2002 album, The Last DJ, and this is the title track, The Last DJ.
Well, you can't turn him into a company man. You can't turn him into a whore. And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play. And he don't wanna change what don't need to change. And there goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. Your freedom of choice. There goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. With some folks said it gonna hang him so high.
So that's from one of the later Heartbreakers albums, and I could have picked a bunch of Petty songs. He has a lot of great ones out there, but this one speaks to me as someone who works at a radio station for a very big media corporation. And let's just say that, Tom Petty complaining about greed and radio and the boys upstairs versus the actual talent. I can certainly speak to that. Maybe not in music radio, which is what the song is primarily about, but the longer I work in radio, the closer this song hits to home, I think. And to have Tom Petty do it, who had this, you know, very cool uncle vibe about him, I think he was the right guy to deliver that message there, Brady.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like the lyrics were the main thing that stood out to me. I had not heard this song before you sent it over. It's got that classic sound. This was '02, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds older than that. That's a compliment, but it sounds like it's from a different era than when it was released. But the lyrics are what stood out to me. I think there is some room for some outrage, like specifically that there goes your freedom of choice line, I think could be used by a different group than they intended it for. But like the specific line, as we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs want to see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. That was particularly poignant to me, like specifically just in sports, in wrestling, just that nobody wants to like go in depth and talk about things anymore. It's all hot takes, and that's just kind of what's getting pushed by the higher ups. So this was poignant for me, even as somebody who doesn't work in radio.
Mm-hmm. And I should point out, there are only three actual Tom Petty solo albums. The rest are with the Heartbreakers, but the first two solo albums have the rest of the band all over them. And Mike Campbell, the guitar player, is on the third one. So pretty clear that, you know, all these guys were tied at the hip until Tom Petty died back in 2017. So yeah, a lot of Heartbreakers to delve into over the years. So that's good for them. But all right, Brady, what's your next pick?
My next pick. This was my most scraping the member limit choice that I had here, but I thought that I could I thought it was kind of interesting narratively in terms of like larger bands, stables, and everything like that. So I'm going with Can You Feel My Heart by Bring Me the Horizon. This is off their 2013 album Sempiternal. I assume that song will sound familiar to some wrestling fans. Firstly, the memes with Christian. I don't know if those have aged out at this point, but those always popped me. And it was also Pete Dunne's theme in Progress, I believe, pre-British Strong Style. Bring Me the Horizon was Progress's favorite band for a while. They were using them all over. So Bring Me the Horizon, they were popular before early into the discography, more of a deathcore band, and they slowly kind of shifted away from that. In 2011, for that album, they added a fifth, and then after that album cycle, he left, and they added another guy named Jordan Fish. And the reason that I think this is interesting is that Jordan Fish came in, and he's, like, people kind of attributed him as the genius of the group, right? He made their music more accessible. Like, it's not Poppy by any means. It doesn't feature Poppy, and it's not Poppy by any means, but it's more accessible, right? Like the chorus is anthemic, everything like that. And they recently, just after, let's see, four albums, I believe, with Jordan Fish, he recently just left the band. So now they're kind of left in this space where, like, if the genius, right, left, what does this mean for them going forward? So there's a lot of interest in their future. But yeah, I mean, I like this song. This has always been kind of my vibe, the general metalcore scene, everything like that. Special shout out in the second verse to like that almost Latin sounding guitar, in the background of the verses. I like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm one of those people who first heard the song, you know, from the memes, and then I heard the song on its own, and I was like, this is actually a really good song. Like, it's like the Rickroll, you know, Never Gonna Give You Up is just a good song on its own. But this is like the right balance to me between the heaviness and the metal and the fury, and, you know, the catchy hook and the synths and the melody and all that stuff. It doesn't go too overboard, which I like. And I only know one other song by them that I like. But I give him props. This is a great song, Brady.
Yeah, it's their most popular. And this album was not necessarily like the popularity breakthrough, but kind of the critical breakthrough of like they've taken it up a level. So, yeah, it's worth seeking out.
Mm-hmm. And there's also this YouTube channel called Drumeo, which is all about drumming. And they do this thing where they bring on a drummer and have them make up their own drum track to a song they don't know.
Yes.
And Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers came on and did this song and did it in like one take, and it was just amazing. So
I didn't know that. I love that channel. I'll have to check that out.
Check that video out. It's really good. He gets confused at one point with like the time change, I think, but he does a great job with it like in one take, so it's really cool. But anyway, my next pick here, we're going down under with my next pick here. Another band with six guys in it. It's INXS, or as Brian Alvarez would call them, INXS. I love that joke. I'm doing it all the time in this show, apparently, but I love it.
It'll always hit with me.
It's always a good time there, yeah. This is from their 1982 album, Shabu Shuba, and this is Don't Change. Triumph, the rock and roll spirit, the Outback, the Kangaroos, it's all coming through here, baby. Yeah, this is a few years before INXS really blew up with Listen Like Thieves and Kick and X and those big albums, but this got the ball rolling, this song and The One Thing. And I think it still holds up really well with the rest of their songs. It's one of my favorite INXS songs, and it's one of the best, I think, hopeful anthems of its day. So I think we need some hope in this day and age there, Brady, and why not play this song to you know, help us out with that, I guess, there.
Yeah, absolutely. The only INXS song that I knew before this was Need You Tonight. So I was surprised when I turned this on and heard the new wave, right? Your list, a lot of great vibes on the list, a lot of happy tunes for some sad times, but yeah, I mean, this is going into the rotation for sure, and I've put this album into my need to listen list, so I loved it.
Yeah, and of course, R.I.P. to the singer Michael Hutchence, who died many years ago. There, yeah, I do wonder where the band would be today if he didn't die, because they kept going after he died with a new singer, but they broke up for good back in 2012, and it was just never the same. But he was, you know, a major part of the band as a frontman and as a songwriter, which is also very important. So you do wonder where they could have gone. But we still have a great catalog of songs by them, thankfully. But all right, Brady, what you got next?
Alrighty. So in the world of stables, what archetype is there that is more powerful than the early 2000s boy band? And so for that, to represent that contingent, I went with It's Gonna Be Me by NSYNC off of No Strings Attached.
Ooh, yeah. You might been hurt, babe. That ain't no lie. Seen them all come and go. Me, that
Yeah, NSYNC is my my boy band of choice. I love, as discussed earlier, I love ska, I love the heavy music, and I love pop music. I did not know, however, that NSYNC had such a a dramatic kind of history. I didn't realize that they had, before this album came out, they were in a legal dispute with their previous label. A pretty prominent one as well, and that ended up putting them on the same level, or on the same label as the Backstreet Boys, which is interesting, because that's always who you hear them. That's like their comparison point, but the whole time they were on the same label, which I did not know. This kind of fits the archetype of like the stable that is successful that has one breakout star from it, right? Justin Timberlake clearly broke out of this. None of the other ones really broke out. And this song like kind of illustrates this. I think this song focuses on him mostly. And the song actually charted higher than Bye Bye Bye, which I didn't know. I would assume that would have been their most popular song, but this one charted higher. So yeah, I mean, it's textbook pop. I'm not going to tell you it's revolutionary, but it's always a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing I remember most about this song is the video of them as toys in the department store. Cause the makeup is so good. And I looked it up. The guy who did the makeup is a guy named Screaming Mad George, who did the makeup on Big Trouble in Little China, Predator, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4, Society, Freaked, just a bunch of stuff. And it looks so good. And I think the video was shot at a lower frame rate, too, to give it like a kind of a stop motion look. So it's a very impressive video. And yeah, a very, very catchy song as well there, Brady, for sure.
Yeah, it is. It's a great video. It holds up super well. Like with how it looks, obviously you touched on the makeup, the lower frame rate, so they look like action figures when they're moving around. It's great. That they're a pretty solid music video band, NSYNC. Mm-hmm. Those things used to matter more than they do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you said the album, of course, is No Strings Attached, and the video has them attached by strings to the boxes. So it's like poetry, it rhymes. It all comes together there, Brady. It's wonderful.
It's deep.
Yeah. All right, my next pick here, this is a band with seven guys in it, and they started out as the Chicago Transit Authority, and then the actual Chicago Transit Authority threatened a lawsuit, and they were like, okie doke, we'll just become Chicago. And this is from their second album, 1970s Chicago 2, and this is Make Me Smile. So that was Chicago's first top 40 hit, I believe, and it makes me smile. I love it so much. Terry Kath's lead vocals there and the harmonies and the horn section, it's all fantastic. And what makes it even better, in my opinion, is that it's part of a larger suite called Ballad for a Girl in Buchanan, which is 13 minutes long, because at their core, Chicago is like a jazz rock fusion kind of band. And their early albums have a bunch of really long songs on them with all these different parts and intricate playing. So the fact that they turned into this, you know, band with all these, you know, pop hits or whatever, it's kind of amusing, I guess, Brady.
Yeah, definitely. I like this a lot. Unfortunate note for Chicago, definitely both of the names in the pre-search engine optimization era.
Yes.
Chicago Transit Authority, rough. Chicago, rougher. but you didn't get sued for it. So I guess that was a win. The instrumentation in this song is so great. I've listened to this several times. You can listen to, you can focus on a different instrument every time and still be entertained. I'm a sucker for the horn section myself, but the bass line's great too. And everything, like, layers keep getting added, but it never seems like it's too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great. Again, Terry Kath he's the guitar player, and he's the one singing there. Died in a very stupid way. For those that may not know the story, I guess Terry loved his guns, and one night he was goofing off with a gun. It was unloaded, and putting it to his head and pulling the trigger, and one of the roadies was like, "Don't do that, don't do that." And then Terry picked up another gun and was like, fine, it's not loaded. And he pulls out the magazine and it's empty. But what he didn't realize was that there was a round in the chamber. So he put the gun to his head, pulled the trigger, and that was the end of Terry Kath at 31 Jesus. Years old. So,
31.
Yeah, don't play with guns, folks, ever, because bad things can happen, as they usually tend to do with guns there, Brady, so.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that scene in Semi-Pro was so close to life. That's brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, make me smile, and I just made everybody sad. Sorry, folks. Yeah, Brady, cheer us up if you can with your next pick, please.
Okay. So, this next one just... Like, I was trying to get different genre mixes in here. I wanted to get some representation from rap. After I submitted everything, I realized that Wu-Tang was probably the move. But not to undersell this, this song, I mean, hopefully will sound familiar to some of you guys. It's pretty popular in wrestling circles for reasons we'll discuss later. Mm-hmm. This is Boogie by Brockhampton off Saturation 3.
For breakfast today, what are the words I'm forbidden to say? I need to let my hair down and go up like a real ass bitch. What are the rules for breakfast today? What are the words I'm forbidden to say? I need to let my hair down and go up like a real ass bitch. Bitch, beat up my whole life. I've been shot down, kicked down twice. Ain't no stopping me tonight. I'm making all the things I like. I've been beat up my whole life. Been shot down, kicked down twice. Ain't no stopping me tonight. I'm making all the things I like.
My niggas taking over. Brockhampton, call your mama. My niggas going platinum. Break neck, see you to the doctor.
Best boy bands is One Direction. Making niggas itch like a skin infection. Did me wrong like a perfect Simpson. Did me wrong, you can change your song, hun.
Who done got me riled up? Who the lame ass bitch wanna talk about us?
I was interested to see where you were going to to pick the clip from, because there's no natural jumping on point. It is
no.
it is very loud. It's the opener of the album. It is in your face immediately. And from one boy band and NSYNC, we go to the self-proclaimed boy band of rap in Brockhampton. There are verses from six different people on this song, seven verses in total, and they are quick. This song isn't like... I don't know. It is a deep. It's not as technically proficient, if you can say that about art, as the other hip hop entry I have here. But it's still a great time. And Andrew, I am assuming you have the note and that this caught your ear. But why is this familiar for wrestling fans?
Oh yeah, I think I brought this up several years ago in a different episode. But the main horn melody is sampled from Yujiro Takahashi's old theme, All Night Long, with the saxophone in it. So a big wrestling connection right there. Now, the sample in this is sped up, but there's a video on YouTube comparing the two. And I don't know if Inosuke Kitamura also sampled it from something else, from like a library or something like that, and it's just a coincidence, or one of the guys in Brockhampton is just a really big Yujiro fan, which I think is the better option, in my opinion, there, Brady.
Yeah, no, that's funnier if he's a big Tokyo Pimp guy. I think that's my headcanon for it, at least. It's funny, if you look at both the YouTube videos and you go back and forth, the the people on the Boogie comments are like, oh, this is Yujiro's theme, New Japan rules. And the other ones are like, they've got lyrics from Boogie over there. So a bunch of Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen, both directions.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first of all, Brock Hampton is a good NXT name, by the way. But yeah, this is getting into the territory of the Rap Collective. That's how you know a band has a lot of people in it, when they're called a collective. And they're also, yeah, they're called a boy band on Wikipedia, which is funny because I don't really think of wild party rap when I think of boy bands. But yeah, I actually found myself enjoying this one. It certainly lives up to the name Boogie with how funky it is.
That was danceable, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I give this one a thumbs up, for sure. So, but my next pick here, I know March Madness is going on as you record this. So I've got an Elite Eight band for you fine folks. This is a band with a very funny name called Oingo Boingo. And this is from their 1983 album Good For Your Soul. This is called Sweat. So it's my turn to get a little ska here, you lucky so-and-sos. Obviously, it's more new wavy ska than Real Big Fish. But yeah, we got the horns in there. We have a very manic energy befitting the story of the song about a guy who's always hectic and always sweating and can't sit still. I think the 80s is when ADD and ADHD were classified as those names, so that kind of lines up there. And also, most of all, the frontman of this band is a guy named Danny Elfman, who would go on to compose the Simpsons theme and also do the score for all these Tim Burton movies and Sam Raimi movies and hundreds of other movies. He's one of the most prolific film composers of all time, and he got his start with, you know, this band right here. So yeah, it's a deeper cut by them. They had hits like Dead Man's Party, Just Another Day, Weird Science, the theme from Weird Science. But yeah, I like this song a lot there, Brady.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. I went with kind of an interesting journey on this. I've always heard the name Oingo Boingo because, I mean, solid name. How could that not stick out once you hear it? And then Google it, like, oh, this is Danny Elfman's band. That's cool. It must have been a passion project after he started scoring movies and got famous. No. Apparently not. Apparently, Tim Burton was a big Oingo Boingo fan, and that's how he got the break for Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which is the first movie that he scored. Song has great energy, and the bass line is killer. It just drives the whole thing. And the lyrics, as someone who's, fun fact about me, one of my least favorite things in the world is being hot. I hate it. I'd rather be cold than hot all the time. Some of these lyrics are a nightmare. Like, let's see, even when it's cold, I'm dripping sweat. It ain't nice. It is not nice.
All right. Well, the more you know, I guess. There you go. Yeah, I first heard of the band on Guitar Hero Encore Rocks the 80s, which was like a little spin-off game of just 80s bands. And I was like, Oingo Boingo, what a funny name. And then I look him up and it's like, oh my God, it's Danny Elfman. And yeah, he got his start with the band. They started out as like a street theater performance group called the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. So they had an even funnier name. And then it just evolved into this new wave ska band, which is kind of par for the course with Danny Elfman because he seems like a very eccentric fellow. If you look him up nowadays, shirtless, he has all these tattoos all over him. So yeah, he's a bit of an odd duck, shall we say there, Brady.
Yeah, definitely. If you told me after this, you're like, Danny Elfman's the front man, I'd be like, oh yeah, that tracks. That makes sense.
Definitely, definitely. All right, Brady, what's the next pick?
All right, so my next pick, what is a wrestling stable or a musical stable even without a little bit of dissension? And so I went with the band that seems to be most famous for nearly falling apart and then still making music for years afterwards. I went with Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac off of 1987's Tango in the Night. This is my favorite song of theirs. I went when I was listening back through some of Fleetwood Mac's discography. I went into Tango in the Night determined. I was like, I'm gonna like this better than Rumors. I'm gonna be the contrarian guy, and I didn't ultimately. But the song is great. This is 10 years after Rumors. They made one more album after Rumors, took a bit of a break, and then came back with Tango in the Night. The reason that I selected this one, on top of it being my favorite song from the group, is that it's a Christine McVie song. She carries it. Usually when you think Fleetwood Mac, you're thinking Stevie Nicks, you're thinking Lindsey Buckingham. They are their background vocalists in the chorus. I love the melody of it. It's very catchy. It gets stuck in my head all the time. And if I remember correctly, it has my favorite 70s and 80s production touch, which is a fade out instead of actually ending the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that Triple H loves booking stables that have dissension and can't trust each other. He would love Fleetwood Mac. He would love those guys.
They're his new Judgment Day. He'd be all over it.
Especially since so many of their songs are about some sort of messed up relationship. But yeah, I agree with Christine McVie. What, to quote Bane, what a lovely, lovely singing voice. I know, Stevie is the more colorful of the two and had the better solo career, but Christine did this. She did You Make Love and Fun, Say You Love Me, and she has this, gentle quality about her that I love. And she wrote a bunch of other hits, too. So she deserves her flowers for sure there.
Yeah, absolutely. She also she carries everywhere as well. So those of you who love PayPal advertising, big time for Fleetwood Mac in the PayPal space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is pretty remarkable that the band actually kept going for as long as it did and didn't just implode forever.
Yeah, same relationship too.
Drama.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. All the drama and the cocaine and drugs and all that other stuff. Because Stevie and Lindsey left and then came back. And then Christine left and came back. And until Christine's death, they would just keep getting back together. So that's the power of music, I guess. That and money, I'm sure. That helped too. But
right.
There you go. All right, my next pick here. This band officially has 9 people in it, at least on this album, but you add in a horn section and other people on the album, and it gets a little bit crazy. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire from their 1979 album, I Am. This is the opening track, In the Stone. Funky brew that is, and once again, plenty of horns. I was mulling over between picking Earth, Wind, and Fire and Parliament Funkadelic, and I went with the former just because I know and like more of their music. And this is amazing. I mean, the production is so crisp and clean and bright. Maurice White and Philip Bailey on vocals, and you know, it's like music to fly to. Like if you had the ability to fly and you were just soaring over the earth, this is the music that would play underneath, you know? And listen, if you don't feel the urge to dance to Earth, Wind, and Fire, something is wrong with you, because this is some prime boogie-down music right here. And if you look at the band's aesthetic, there's a lot of spirituality and mysticism and astrology and pyramids, all this stuff. I don't care about any of that. I just want to move and groove here, Brady.
Absolutely. Like, the meaning's great. I love it. Love the in the stone imagery, but I'm over here dancing while the clip's playing. How could you not love Earth, Wind, and Fire? It's impossible not to. This song's great. I mean, not really a deep cut. It's the opener on, I think, their most popular album, but it's great. Right. You know what you're going to hear. It's an Earth, Wind, and Fire song, but you're going to love it every time. I was thinking with this, as I went through Earth, Wind, and Fire's like discography, I think they have to be high on the list of like of a band that people know the most songs of without realizing that that's the band. Like if you went up to somebody and said, hey, have you listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire? And they go, no. You're like, well, maybe not, but you know like 5 of their songs at least. Right. Like they're everywhere. They're great. You know the songs, even if you don't know who it's by.
Mm-hmm. Just ask them, do you remember the 21st night of September?
Absolutely.
And if they say yes, you say, gotcha. We gotcha. Maurice died some years ago, but the band is still going, still touring with Philip Bailey and Verdeen White in there. And Philip Bailey did the song Easy Lover with Phil Collins, which was the theme for Mania 1. And on this album is the song Boogie Wonderland, which is Muhammad Yoni's theme in Noah. So there you go.
Telling you, it's everywhere. Easy Lover, excellent song. Not Earth, Wind, and Fire technically, but boy, is it good. What a song. Mm-hmm.
All right, what you got next there, Brady?
Alrighty, we are going back to the realm of hip hop. We are going to a group that is they're named Jurassic 5, but they have 6 members. I checked 4 or 5 times. I counted with my finger on the Wikipedia page, 6 members in Jurassic 5, which is pretty funny. This is A Day at the Races off of 2002's Power in Numbers.
Yo, town, master blaster sound. Preach the future far from here and now. Stop. Release, increase the peace. Bubble with the beat. They're feeling the heat in the streets. Now each one, teach one, each one. Young gun on one. Listen to the warriors drum. Beating up the block with the ghetto hop. The knock and make you want to crash the spot and the lock explode. Boom. The alpha and omega cold. With drum rolls and old soul, we uphold and foretold. Scores of 6 years ago. Fast flow from
G rap the cool mode. Super syllable, major to the minimal. Every individual bounce to the temple, yo. Lungs collapsing, raps be trapping. The only way to make it happen, jaw japping fast, bro.
I'm the hot dog, the runner, hottest monologue installed. Poetic inserts and yes, y'all. My speech is like holding two blocks apiece. The outreach that rock police. The super Avenger, member 10 of Poseidon Adventure Swimmer. Rewrite the Emmy winner, get hype off any printer. And I came to get it, hit it. Like Operation Push, operate the tush. Black octopus, the soul. And in a terry trying to patrol, I'm planning my goal. And lo and behold, it's the rubber dock. Ready to rock, rock. It don't stop, hops, I knock like the lumberjack, chop, chop. The word smith, for writing block letters, a curse, of curse. With circus, serve, and surface. And watch how the brother get over. The fly casting over with the frankincense odor.
For those who are of my age group, I assume a lot of you recognize that as the intro song from Tony Hawk's Underground. That is that's the first time I heard it, and it's a great intro to that game, and it's a great song. Like the Brockhampton song, this has verses from six different people. So Jurassic 5 is six people. They added two more in for this song. There's so much I love about this song. I like the beat. It's simple and. I should probably say the melody, but it's simple, but it gives them, it's complex enough that you can loop it, and it isn't obvious that they're just looping the same thing, but it also gives them enough room kind of in the dead space that they can experiment. They have different flows, and different styles. I don't mean to sound puritanical. I like that this is in the era of rap before they started to lean on the cuss words a lot. There's a lot of clever wordplay in this song, and I just love it. I think it's a great effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jurassic 5, that's the name of my fan fiction crossover of Jurassic Park and Babylon 5. it's going to happen one day, I know it. But yeah, if Brockhampton sounds like the wild frat boy party, this sounds a little more restrained and a little more old school. I love the bass line and that one guitar strum. But it also has some very amusing lines, too. Like Operation Push, Operate the Tush. Like Osama or Dahmer, I'ma cause trauma. Leave your ass shaking like a mystical song. So, yeah, just good times right here, Brady, for sure.
Thank you. I'm glad that my ploy to get you to read rap lyrics on the podcast has worked. You've fallen into my trap.
I mean, I just appreciate any song that references both a Marx Brothers movie and a Queen album. So that gets points for me there. So
you got to tip the cap for sure.
Of course. So my next pick, this is a band that is now defunct. But when it was around, it had about, I think, 10 to 12 people in it. This band is called Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. And this is from their 2009 debut album, Up From Below. This song is called Janglin'. Checking themselves there. Yeah, this song is called Janglin', and baby, we are janglin', and maybe even jinglin', who knows. You can definitely taste the hippie throwback vibes dripping off this song, which is kind of the point of the band. And a lot of their music is meant to evoke that 60s psychedelic folk sound, and they do a pretty damn good job of it too. They have a song of this album called Home, which was pretty big. And I will say, I think of the various late 2000s, 2010s, folky bands that clap and go, hey! They're my favorite ones. No disrespect to the Lumineers, who literally had a song called Ho Hey. But I prefer these guys myself. They're Brady.
Let me just go ahead and cross my Lumineers note that off my document. You said 2010s folky stuff, and I was like, ah, like the Lumineers, and then it was right there. Yeah, the first time I listened to this, usually this kind of music is not it's not my preferred genre. This struck me as a song that would be on a random episode of Chuck. Did you ever watch Chuck?
One or two episodes here and there.
Man, that joke's gonna go off with like 25 people. but the second time I listened to this, I'll be damned, that chorus, it just grows on you. It's great vibes, makes you feel all warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Great song.
I was actually stunned to find this out some time ago, that there is no Edward Sharp. The main guy's name is Alex Ebert, and Edward Sharp was like this messiah character he came up with years ago, and that became kind of the focal point of the band. So it's kind of a kayfabe situation going on here, Brady, so...
You missed him for the gimmick names episode.
He was right. Yeah. Well, next time then, I guess. Next time, for sure. But that was Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. Brady, what you got next?
Yeah, I got sick of scraping the band line with five or six people. So I went with Prince and the Revolution. But I did not go with Purple Rain. Firstly, because I think... that one's obvious. Not that this is a deep cut, but I was looking at the personnel sections of the list on Wikipedia, and Purple Rain had 11 people listed, while this album has 21 people listed. So we're going to go with Raspberry Beret off of Around the World in a Day. Yeah. Yeah, I think this exercise made me think about a lot of my songs. Like, yes, it's a bigger band. It hits the limit, technically. Three ain't enough. We need five. And once I hit those criteria, I kind of started selecting. But it was important to me that you can hear, like, that there are more than five people here. And this song isn't, like, it's not epic. It's not grandiose. I like that it's just a pretty straightforward pop song, but that it's got a string section, and it's got horns, and it's got a guitar. I love this song. To this point, this was his only album cover that had people other than him on the cover, which I thought was kind of interesting just from the perspective of, like, this is the kind of stable where they build it around a star, right? Like, the Revolution were a different band, but Prince, like, hey, come with me, right? I'm Prince, you're going to be okay. But he did interviews at the time saying that, like, he thought that people were just sick of seeing his face. So he wanted to mix it up with the album cover, mix it up with the style a little bit, and I think it works really well here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine putting out Purple Rain and then having to follow it up. I think almost everybody would just completely give up and be like, I can't do it, sorry. But it's Prince, he could do anything, really. And to have this incredible pop song come out, I think less than a year after Purple Rain came out, is amazing. Especially since it does drift from the Purple Rain sound a bit by leaning into the more neo-psychedelic stuff. It's kind of like if Prince did a song on Sgt. Pepper's, you know? This is what it would be like. And
yeah.
I know Prince denied the Beatles and Sgt. Pepper's being an influence for this album, but sorry, man, it sounds like Sgt. Pepper's. All right, come on. Yeah.
I love his quote on that. I was reading that and he said, like, the Beatles were great for their time, but I'm not sure they could hang today. I'm like, Prince, come on. But yeah, I mean, like, this album's interesting. It goes into the kind of the group mentality more, where like you listen to Purple Rain and it's just like, it's so Prince, right? Like, you watch the videos, they're all him. It's all focused on him. And now in this video, everybody's there. There's more people on the cover. Yeah, and not to mention the style change, which kind of separates it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised that Weird Al never did a parody of this. She had a raspberry sorbet, the kind you buy in a grocery store. It's gold, Jerry. It's gold. Come on.
He's the best in the business, this guy.
All right, my second to last pick here. This is a band from Boston. They're called Bang Camaro. And the band was started by just two guys, but they've got a whole lot of help in the vocals department, and I'll explain that in just a second here. This is from their 2008 album Bang Camaro 2, and the song is called Night Lies. So what I love about that song is how similar it is at its core to being like a Kiss song, just in terms of like the structure with the chugga chugga riffs and the lyrics being about, you know, women and sex, you know, and it even references Lick It Up too. But what separates Bang Camaro from other rock bands is how many singers they have, because most rock bands have one singer, some have two, some have three. Bang Camaro has like a basketball team-sized pool of singers, because they get all of these singers from other rock bands to come in and do gang vocals on their songs, because they want the biggest hooks and the biggest melodies they can get. So if you go on their Wikipedia, you can see they have like 24 people who do vocals or whatever. It's incredible, Brady.
Yeah, and then if you look at past members, there's like another 25 people. It's
yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, I didn't even think about the Kiss comparison, but that definitely is accurate. So usually this to go with the last one, usually this kind of rock music, not my cup of tea. This one I unfortunately didn't come around on that well, but it did sound familiar. And after a little bit of research, I found that in the recesses of my mind, this was a free DLC song on Rock Band 2 in 2009, mm-hmm. which when you listen to it, it tracks, right? It makes sense. I had a note to ask how many people are in this band and how many of them are vocalists. So I'm glad you touched on that. I respect that they didn't vary up. Like, they have a bunch of members in the band and there's a lot of redundancy, and I appreciate the commitment to that. Everything mm-hmm. is a harmony. I love it.
Yeah, this is one of those bands who I'm sure a lot of people discovered in the early Guitar Hero and Rock Band games, because they had other songs in those games. And I mentioned before on the show, the company Harmonix, who made those games, is based in Boston. And they got a bunch of local indie bands to put in those games, and one of them is Bang Camaro. So, yeah, I remember playing Rock Band 2 and hearing this song and being like, oh yeah, Bang Camaro, they're also in Guitar Hero 2 and Rock Band 1 and some other games. So, Yeah, they're still around. Their third album just came out like a couple years ago, so there was a bit of a gap in between album releases. But yeah, they're still kicking, Brady.
Did they name that one Bang Camaro 3?
They did.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought they were going to break the naming convention. That drives me crazy.
No, no, no. It was certainly Bang Camaro 3. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So what is your last pick of the episode there, Brady?
All righty. My last pick of the episode, we're going to 2008 MySpace era. It is time to don your black jeans, your black shirt, and your black hoodie that you cut out holes in the cuff so you can stick your thumbs through it. This is Stick Stickly by Attack Attack off of Someday Came Suddenly. Yeah, so this is this pick is brought to you by Nostalgia Goggles. The song doesn't really it doesn't really hold up that well, but it was definitely of its time. Like, this is actually Attack Attack's a really influential band for style reasons and for reasons I'll get into in a second. But like, there's a lot of different parts of this song. Right, you got the screamo bits, you got the breakdown, and then you have a little dance break near the end, which isn't in the clip, but there's a nice little synth dance break. I didn't read the lyrics to this until like a couple of years ago. Had no idea what they were saying. Didn't realize it was a worship song this whole time, which also a shockingly common thing for that era of this kind of music was that it was a worship song. But looking back, like we talked about a supergroup with Brockhampton earlier, this is like, you look at the roster of this group, and there three of the vocalists are in very successful bands now. So Caleb Chomo is in Beartooth, Austin Carlisle was in Of Mice and Men, and Johnny Franks in Bill Murray, and they're all very popular. And to think that they were all just like 16, 18 year old kids all in the same group, and they all split off and did these great things is really cool. So.
Well, first of all, we should mention there is more than one band named Attack Attack. This is the American one with just one exclamation point. The other is a Welsh band with two exclamation points. So it's Attack Attack. This is the American one. And I got to say, this was a wild jaunt to listen to for the first time, because we've got screamo vocals, we've got doom low vocals, we've got auto-tuned vocals, we've got metal, we've got techno, we have time shifts, we have a wild tonal shift in the last bit of the song. And I'm not saying I like it, because I don't like it. A lot of people don't like it, actually. But I'm certainly intrigued by it, Brady.
Yeah, it's a very interesting band composition where, like we talked about ska being a cheat code for these categories, this genre of music kind of a cheat code as well, because a lot of them have a synth guy. And he's your substitute for a brass section in a ska band. But they've got one clean vocalist who plays guitar. They've got two screamers who I don't think they play any instruments. I think they both just scream. And then you've got the drummer and the other guitarist. Like, it's a really interesting lineup, and it's definitely a lot of ideas that they threw into the same song.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in the video, the guitar player invented the crab core meme, because he's doing the crab stance as he plays.
Yeah.
Very infamous video, I guess, of the 2000s. I think the biggest crime of all, though, is that it tarnishes the good name of Stick Stickly, That man is a Nickelodeon icon and should not be associated with this song at all, Brady. I'm sorry.
Oh no. We're gonna have to hit up the Chicago Transit Authority and get our legal team on this.
At least they didn't do a song called Face. At least there's that, you know. So
they had to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So all right, my last pick here. I saved the biggest band for last, literally, because I think this might be the biggest band of all time, just in terms of how many people are in it and were in it. This is the Polyphonic Spree, and this song is from their 2002 debut album called The Beginning Stages of... And this is called Hanging Around the Day, Part 2. Two Polyphonic Spree songs. This one and the song that goes, you know, light and day. And despite the fact that I really like those two songs, I like how they sound, I don't know if I want to listen to any more of them, because I'm afraid that if I do, I will also become a member of a Polyphonic Spree.
I was going to make the same joke.
Because I think that's how they get so many people to be in the band. You know, their music is just so light and happy that people just want to join the band and join the fun. And the next thing you know, there's 80 people on stage in choir robes. And my schedule is too busy to be in a band, Brady. I just can't commit to that. I'm sorry.
It's a major time commitment. And then when you consider that when you join the band, you have to get two friends to join the band, and that they also themselves have to get two friends to join the band. It's just, it's not sustainable. Like there's not enough venues with that much stage space. I had a secret criteria, well, not secret, maybe a bonus criteria for this, which was when you Google the band, how ridiculous does the amount of people seem when you go to Google Images? And they check the box. Absurd amount of members aside, I really enjoy this song. If the Earth, Wind, and Fire song earlier was flying music, this is floating music, right? It's very psychedelic. It's good vibes. All around.
Yeah, the origins of the band, I was so curious about it. They're from this other band called Tripping Daisy. And when one of the members died, the band broke up. And the lead singer, Tim DeLaughter, started the Polyphonic Spree. And I think it started with him and just 12 other people. Just 12 of the guys, it's fine. And then 12 more people joined. And it just becomes this big thing. I think the list of current members on Wikipedia is long. It's like 26 people. But the list of former members is even longer. So many people have been in this band over the years, including St. Vincent. It's probably the most famous former member of the band. But yeah, it's a huge, huge, huge band. And you're always wondering, like, how much catering do you need for them? What's the pay split like? Like, you know, how big is the tour bus? You know, how many tour buses do they need? So, yeah, just a nice... kind of culty, but not actually culty band with just so many people in it. But I'm glad they're around because they make very lovely music for sure, Brady.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I regret to say it did give cultish vibes a little bit, but I'm listening. You know, like they seem like they're pretty chill. As far as like splitting up pay, it's not even like it's Blank and the Polyphonic Spree. Who's even going to try and run point on the pay scale? You know. But overall, like, great last song. And unless you, barring a tragic story like the Chicago one earlier. This is a great end.
No sad stories here, thankfully. That does tend to happen on this show. Whenever we play someone who died on the show for the first time, I tend to bring up that they died. And I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just trying to, you know, acknowledge their passing and be respectful and educate people about them as well.
Yeah.
Thankfully ending on a happy note here, befitting of the Polyphonic Spree. That was the episode. Those were our picks. And Brady, thank you for being here. I'm amazed that we managed to fit all of these people onto the show. It was a tight squeeze, but we got them all on, Brady.
Yeah, they're all backstage. I was a little nervous when I saw the Polyphonic Spree come in, but they're a little lean at the moment. They're down a few members from where they peaked, so we were able to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Any plugs you want to give, go right ahead.
Not really. I don't have my own podcast or anything. I'm not sure the world needs another wrestling podcast, but I write a lot for the site. I've been doing all the Deadlock Pro reviews. I've done every Deadlock Pro review this year. So if you want to catch up on Deadlock, I've got my reviews over there. Me and Griffin are also working on a primer for Deadlock pre-WrestleMania weekend. And if you want to follow me on Blue Sky, my handle is Yadarb. It's just my name backwards. But yeah, that's all I've got.
All right. Yeah. Again, Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find all the shows, previews, reviews, articles at voicesofwrestling.com, Blue Sky at Music of the Mat, and at Just Andrew on Blue Sky. If you want to leave a comment about this episode or share your picks, voicesofwrestling.com/Discord. That's also where I post the Spotify playlist for each episode. And of course, make sure you subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice, and leave a nice rating and review. All right, the playout song here. I went with another Someone and the Somethings band. We had Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We had Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. Let's go out with a sextet called Huey Lewis and the News.
What a pick.
And this is from their fourth album called Four. This is Stuck With You. Thanks again, Brady.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
We've had some fun. Yes, we've had our ups and downs. Been down that rocky road, but here we are still around. We thought about someone else, but neither one took the bait. We thought about breaking up, but now we know it's much too late. We are back.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.